still having no luck catching me.
Will you catch your Yorkshire Ripper?
Yes.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Backstory. I'm Dana Lewis. In 1980, I was a crime reporter in Toronto. In England, a chilling, frightening story was unfolding. A man who was stalking and killing women dubbed the Yorkshire Ripper. That's where he was lurking. Yorkshire, England, in towns like Bradford, Sheffield, Leeds. He killed 13 women and attempted to murder seven more. He was eventually caught. His name, Peter Sutcliffe. And this week, Sutcliffe, serving 20 concurrent sentences for life imprisonment, died from COVID-19. In 1980, I told my boss, his name was Robert Holliday, let me go and cover the murders. I paid my airfare and hotels and told the news director, if you like the story I bring back, just pay my airfare. And that's what happened. On my vacation time, this is the story I did way back then. In the end, the story I prepared for a national radio show called Sunday Sunday aired, just as Peter Sutcliffe was caught and his terrible murder spree came to an end. I got my story and $600 for the air ticket. I was only 20. This is what I sounded like, and that's the way it was. Hell of a crime story.
I'm Jack. I see you are still having no luck catching me.
Will you catch your Yorkshire Ripper?
Yes. I won't say when, but yes, we will catch him.
People are very lucky that's got a nice background, got an husband to support him. You can't live on £23 a week with two kids. Sorry, it's not possible.
So you're willing to take the chance of the Ripper in order to feed your family?
Well, I've got to, haven't I? It's either that, this driver going to social care.
Why do you come up and stalk young girls, innocent girls as well? You come up from behind them, they don't have a chance. You're not a man, you're a beast. And I hate you.
You could be Jack the Ripper. I could be Jack the Ripper. It's as difficult as that.
From ABC News, I'm Bob Windsor. British police may have caught up with a murderer called the Yorkshire Ripper, who has terrorized northern England for 5 years by killing 13 women. Police in West Yorkshire say a man arrested 2 days ago in Sheffield is being questioned about the murders and faces a Monday
court hearing. And, although the policemen have made it their lives, also a number of reporters have had the same effect on them too. So the feeling is that it is most likely, and that maybe it's the end of the road, but the beginning of a new one.
Which would be?
Well, the new road is now discovering how and why and who.
West Yorkshire police think they know who. They have charged 35-year-old truck driver Peter Sutcliffe with murder number 13. He has been remanded in custody until tomorrow. There are many clues as to how the murders were committed. There are few that indicate why. Friends and neighbors of Sutcliffe say he was a quiet man. They are surprised. That's the thing about Yorkshire. Friends and neighbors are easy to come by. It's a large area, but has that small town atmosphere. Yorkshire views itself as a nation. It was the largest county in England until it was quartered in 1974. Its townsfolk have produced textiles since the 18th century, and that unmistakable scent of black coal fills the air. Although the rolling countryside could be sold in a travel magazine, the towns and cities of the area are bleak and gray. The people, hardworking and conservative. The Yorkshire Ripper has left the area in shock.
The first victim that we attribute to the man that's now locally known as the Yorkshire Ripper was in fact Anna Rogulski. She was a 37-year-old woman who was walking through the streets in the early hours of the 5th of July 1975. She was walking through the streets of Keighley when she was struck about the head, attacked with a number of blows and left unconscious.
The Ripper began his spree of killings in the town of Leeds. October 30th, 1975. 28-year-old Wilma McKen was struck over the head and stabbed savagely. The Ripper was born, and the stage set for Britain's worst mass murderer. During the next 5 years, the Ripper would elude Britain's best detectives. He would attack 17 girls in total, leaving 13 dead. For Police Superintendent Frank Mort, it was the largest investigation he would ever be involved in.
If I had come to you 5 years ago and suggested that a a killer as bold, as vicious as this could elude you for so much time. Would you believe me?
No, I don't think I would. If you would have said to me that, yes, we might have a mass murderer, yes, I would have believed that. But if you would have tried to suggest to me that a murderer could have, in fact, committed 13 violent and vicious attacks and left so little behind, that I would have found difficult to accept. But events have proved, in fact, that we have a man who is capable of doing that.
He seems to be able to lead these women away, does he not? Or at least approach them without causing them to run.
Yeah, that's one version that you could attach to it. The other one, and the one that I prefer to think is probably the way he operates, is not necessarily to pursue them for long distances, but maybe to stand in some secluded shop doorway or some secluded yard entry. And when the woman passes, he may only need to perhaps take one or two steps to strike the blow. So far as the prostitutes are concerned, yes, I think it's fairly clear that he would pick the woman up as a normal customer would pick up a prostitute and drive to a secluded area which either he or she nominated and commit the crime. With this one, he would pick the area and wait for the girl to come into that area. I, in the past, have likened him a little bit to the spider who picks his area and then he sits quiet and waits, and when the fly comes by, he'll snap. And I think the same principle applies here. He will pick his area and he will wait until the circumstances are exactly right and the girl comes along, and then he will attack. And if the circumstances are not right, then that girl continues on her way. We're now into the 20th of January 1976, when back in Leeds, the body of Emily Jackson, a 42-year-old prostitute, was found. She had been stabbed and beaten about the head many, many times. That was the first real indication, perhaps, that we had a one-man killer or one-man attacker of women that was working in a number of areas of the country.
I'm Jack. You are still having no luck catching me.
Besides a cassette tape, three letters were also sent to Assistant Chief Constable George Oldfield from a man police believed was the Ripper. The material criticized Oldfield, then in charge of the manhunt, and his team of detectives.
I can't see myself being nicked just yet. Yours, Jack the Ripper. No good looking for fingerprints. You should know by now. It's plain as a whistle. See you soon. Bye.
The cassette tape gave the case a new mystery. It was dramatic, some say spine-chilling, and investigators searched for its author. Loudspeakers played it again and again from town to town in the hope someone would recognize the man behind the voice.
The tapes and letters to police. What sort of a man does that?
I think it's the kind of man who fits in with my hypothesis of him being a psychopath. It was fascinating to me to watch how it unfolded, really, how there seemed to be developing a battle of wits between Mr. Oldfield and this murderer, to such an extent that he felt emboldened enough to send a tape and a letter. Now, to digress for a minute, I think that was a mistake.
Dr. Stephen Shaw was one of several psychologists called in to assist in the Ripper hunt in 1973. His work with the criminally insane, extensive.
So these are mistakes, and a psychopath does make his mistakes and he doesn't learn from them, but he cannot resist the impulse, and that was another of my features, cannot resist the impulse to have a battle of wits with Mr. Oldfield. So has to taunt him, has to send the tapes to say, I've every respect for you, Mr. Oldfield, but your boys are not much good. I am better than the whole of the West Yorkshire Police, as it were, almost crowing over them, challenging them to catch him.
It appears the Yorkshire Police Department has finally met that challenge and beaten the Ripper at his game. There is a second half to this story. Besides the police and the Ripper, there are the people of that area. Theirs is the real story in this tale.
The Ripper, in fact, didn't strike again for another 381 days. And then on the 5th of April 1977, Irene Richardson, she was killed in Leeds. And that's when the local media first started using the title The Ripper. It didn't stop him killing, however, because he moved then to Bradford, and on the 23rd of April 1977, Patricia Atkinson, she was killed. 63 days later, he came back to Leeds, and on the 26th of June, he killed a young 16-year-old girl, Jane MacDonald. And this was the first of the women who was not, in fact, a prostitute or of low moral character.
As the Ripper taunted and played his deadly game with the people of Yorkshire, the area changed drastically. Oh no, not the buildings or landscape, but its residents. In daytime hours, conversations were filled with tales of the Ripper, who he might be, what he was doing, and when he might do it again. At night, a terrified county locked its doors in fear. Cab drivers could see the change.
It is either like district of Leeds, Chapel Town, or it used to be, not so much since the Ripper murders. The girls have tended to move out of Leeds and come to such areas as Bradford.
Garth, what would I have found 5 years ago if you had been driving me through this area?
5 years? You'd have found a lot of activity. Basically, you would have seen the girls on the street corners. Plenty of cars driving around the streets looking for the girls. Basically, just plenty of activity, which you don't see now. It's just practically deserted. Since I've been taxiing, I've made a good living out of it, but now I'm just barely making a living. It's just so quiet in Leeds. It's really quiet.
The red light areas were so quiet, it took me 4 days to find any prostitutes with the courage to work the area. When I did find them, it was under a street lamp in a broken-down section of the Ripper's hometown of Bradford. There the girls worked in pairs, or not at all.
No good. It's gone. Finished.
What's happened?
There's no clients anymore. It's dead. Just pure police.
Just a lot of police. Are they giving you a hard time?
Not really. They're just everywhere, all the time.
So a lot of the guys not coming around?
That's it.
And there's no business?
No.
Don't you get a little scared, though?
Yeah, but I don't work alone. I work with her. Two girls. Whoever gets a client, you know, if they don't want two, the other one still goes. Most girls now work away, out of town.
Where have they gone?
London. Big towns, Norwich, London. Scotland. Ireland, even.
Because of the Ripper, they were...
Yeah. Not just because they were afraid, but because there's no money here anymore.
Well, why don't the customers come up, though? Is it because the police are giving
them
a hard time?
Because the police, yeah. The police, like, do spot checks a lot.
And it's very embarrassing when they've got family at home and police aren't discreet about it. They just go and knock on door and say in front of the wife they've been up in red light area, they've been seen. It's like, it used to be a spot check and every car that come up here, it got checked out thoroughly. And to do that, they used to go to clients' homes, even the works, and see the manager, even say it in front of the wives. So naturally, they can't afford that sort of scandal. So they've just stopped coming through that as well.
As you can see for yourself, it's dead.
It is quiet, and it's like this every night now, eh?
It is, yeah. It's been like this for the past few weeks.
The main thing is, if you're a prostitute, wherever you go, there's police. It's because there's no money here, and what's the use of getting locked up for nothing? Mm. That's why they're going away. They're still getting locked up same way, but at least they're earning the money.
Well, how do you girls feel about the police?
They're all right.
See, are you mad at them for doing
it? No. Well, they're trying to save our necks. Like, they're doing the job and also they're trying to protect us. Only for police on a red light area, Rip would be all the time. That's why I think that's the reason he's turned to straight people. Because he knows now not to come up because he's got to get spot checks or whatever. And his son has got to say there's too many police now. So he's turning to straight people to do them in.
Do you think about the Ripper when you're standing out here at night?
It's always there. It's always there. Because we know lots of the people have been killed.
Not only have people been killed in your community, not only are girls really scared to go out on the streets at night, but when a girl, a prostitute that you know well, just not someone you work with, a friend of yours, it happens to her, doesn't that make you want to quit?
Well, it does, yeah, but you can't quit. How can you quit? Look at it this way, right? All us is one-parent families. She's two kids, I've two, she's got three, yeah? We don't have no fella behind us, nobody to support us. We've got us rent, us food, us clothing. You get all £23 off Social Security a week. How can you live?
You can't live.
So you're willing to take the risk?
Eat. Well, you have to do. It's not a matter of willing to take it. It's a matter of living. It's a matter of either you taking that risk for your kids to starve and get put into care.
And then there was another, and in fact the longest gap of all. He went 441 days. before he moved back to Leeds, and the latest victim, Jacqueline Hill, she was killed on the evening of the 17th of November 1980. And again, she was beaten about the head and stabbed.
From the Bradford Red Light District to a Leeds pub, the feeling was the same. No one could escape the grip of the Ripper. Like this man, all wondered if at one time or another, they had looked the killer right in the eye.
They didn't talk to each other about it because you may be talking to the Ripper. That's the feeling. Many people have said that to me. That is the feeling around here and, in fact, in the whole of Bradford.
You mean people are so scared that they're looking at anyone they talk to and wondering if he's the Ripper?
Exactly.
By the time I arrived in Yorkshire to gather this story, 13 murders had been recorded. Townspeople were awaiting the next one. The families and relatives of the victims were tired, broken, and would not talk to reporters. But given the chance by the BBC to talk directly to the Ripper, they took it. Mrs. Irene MacDonald, her daughter was murdered in 1977.
I just see you as a beast with no feelings, and you're a coward. Why do you come up and stalk young girls, innocent girls as well? You come up from behind them, they don't have a chance. You're not a man, you're a beast. And I hate you. And I believe all the population in Leeds and everywhere hate you. I wonder who you think you are. Do you damn well think you're God or something? God give life, God taketh it away, not you. I think you are the devil itself.
Mrs. Patricia Brandsburg. Her niece was murdered in 1977.
Jane was a beautiful girl. You took life from her. You destroyed her family in one way or another. Her father just deteriorated. You're not a man. You're despicable. I despise you intensely. Every living person curses you. You can't even dig a hole for yourself because people would come and find you and drag you out.
Mr. Harry Smelt. His wife was attacked in 1975.
Of all the women you've killed, I think, if you were to take a census of them all, I think, given the opportunity to do as you wish with them, I think they would rate you pretty low sexually. I think that's what it's all about. You're proving you're a man by killing them. Most men don't have to kill women to prove that they're a man. Let's talk about real crimes, organising bank robberies and so on. I think you will be, really, a non-runner. It has to be women, and it has to be from behind.
Mr. Hayden Hiley, his daughter was murdered in 1979.
You are the lowest of the low. You did mention, I believe it was in your tape to the police, that you wanted to be mentioned in the Guinness Book of Records. I'll go along with that. You should be classed as the biggest coward the world has ever known. Put that in the Guinness Book of Records.
Mrs. Beryl Leach, her daughter, murdered in 1979.
If I were you, I'd look over your shoulder. You hit them from behind. You're a coward.
222, go ahead.
The number is Tango Uniform Mike, 983 Romeo.
Yes, 222, there's no trace stolen on this vehicle. It's a green Opel.
Well, I think there are probably three ways that the murder could be brought to justice. Number one is it could be some super detective has a blinding flash of genius as a result of which the man is arrested. Yeah, that's possibility number one. Possibility number two is that the grind, the day-to-day slog, will bring results because of the painstaking, tedious, very involved and very detailed inquiries. There is also the third way, and that is that some policeman doing some duty totally unconnected with the Ripper inquiry will in fact walk round the corner and walk straight into the man and arrest him.
Superintendent Frank Moritz's predictions given to me several weeks ago were not that far off. 35-year-old Peter Sutcliffe was arrested 9 days ago. Two constables on routine patrol in the red light district of Sheffield stopped a car driven by Sutcliffe. In his company, a lady of the night. The license plates were checked and found to be stolen. One thing led to another, and by the beginning of the week, it was announced the truck driver would stand trial for the murder of the Ripper's 13th victim. After interviewing over 200,000 people, searching 30,000 homes at a cost of $10 million, the 500-man Ripper Squad has disbanded. The people of Yorkshire will not return to the norm quite so easily. This is Dana Lewis.
Eventually, those tapes the police played from town to town were proven to be fake. It wasn't Sutcliffe. But it did distract the police from catching the real killer for a while. How was Sutcliffe finally caught? The two policemen who stopped him on a routine check, one of them felt suspicious when the man asked to relieve himself. The officer went around to the scene later and found that Sutcliffe had dropped a hammer and knife on the ground. And that was the end of the Yorkshire Ripper's string of murders. This week, victims of his attempted murders and families of those who were killed spoke out to say they won't shed a tear for Sutcliffe's passing. But his death brings about closure to a bloody and terrifying period in Yorkshire. I'm Dana Lewis. Thanks for listening to Backstory. Please subscribe to the best international news podcast and share our link. Take care, and I'll talk to you again soon.